Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. As always, my name is Alon.
And my name is Zara.
That's Zara.
Sorry about that, man. I'm just so excited. We're standing up and talking during the whole show now.
This is the standy show, of course. Considering the equipment we have in the studio here, it's kind of hard for me to even talk. And you might hear that, the rattling, right, of our booms here. Can you guys hear that? You probably can hear it a lot more than I can hear it. But, yeah, these mics are iffy, to say the least.
It's very exciting.
Anyway, that's what happens when you're in an actual radio studio. Isn't that right, Andrew? Andrew, we had someone ask, they sent me an email saying, was Andrew drunk or did he just lose his girlfriend? What happened last week? Because you talked on the show. And I immediately replied with, girlfriend? No, he's married to his work. That's what I said, because Andrew, always on the job. And in fact, he's joining us now by standing. Thank you very much, Andrew. All right, I got a couple of announcements to make. Well, really, only one.
I've got a couple of announcements to make as well.
All right. Well, that'll make at least two then, together.
I also have an announcement.
Really? Andrew, what's your announcement?
I was hoping you would go first.
Okay. It is my birthday next week, and as such, I will be celebrating like a madman. Now, I'm convinced that no one who actually listens to our show is in Phoenix, but if you are, and you want to join me and Ara at our wonderful birthday celebration, you can come down to the Horse and Hound Saturday night.
Now, what is this? Is this going to be some kind of like poker exhibition or something?
No, I found out after creating the Evite and went and looked at their website, and they have poker, and you know I'm a poker fiend, right?
Indeed.
So they have a free poker game Saturday night, but I assume it's in like the back room where they have some extra tables and stuff, so it's not really going to interfere. But I figure, what the hell, if they have poker, I might as well go a couple hours early and play a game. So I'm going to get there a bit early.
So we're just going to trash the place instead of...
Not really. We'll get some people, we'll drink, we'll talk shop a little bit, talk about some games. Maybe I can like pay you $10 to go talk to a girl or something. Very foreign material for me.
Right.
And to watch the master at work. So 9 p.m. at the Horse and the Hound in Tempe. That's where I'm going to be. And you're going to be joining me with 41 of your friends, as I understand it.
Well, Alibaba and the 40 Thieves said they would come with me. So.
All right, well, that's good. They have lots of video games at that bar. In fact, last time I was there, they had like a Madden tournament or something. I really didn't participate. I just left. But anyway, it's a good place. So that's where we're going to be on Saturday. What was your news?
Well, remember how we were talking about the Red Star coming out a couple shows ago?
And then how it got pushed back again.
And yeah, I don't think we said this on the air quite yet, though. But yeah, like last time, it was like coming out in like February 14th.
Yes.
And according to at least GameStop, now it's been pushed back to March 3rd. So every time the update approaches, it seems to get pushed back a couple more weeks. But
I think we should hold off on claiming that you can go buy it until we actually have a copy in our hands that we had to buy at a store.
So it's ever closer to the release date as we speak.
One of these days. Now,
if they just wouldn't keep moving it forward every time.
We may not have mentioned it at the top of the show, but Ara, of course, game designer over at Rainbow Studios here in the Phoenix area. And now I guess THQ moved right into the building too. So we got THQ and Rainbow Studios in Phoenix.
That's right. Right. How did you know about that?
Oh, I know.
So you have some kind of like insider sources here or something?
I know. I actually have a friend who went to work for THQ today. Started work for them today.
Really?
And it's in the same building as yours.
That's cool. You should introduce me to him.
Yeah, one of these days, if they ever let me in your building,
I'll probably run into him in the hallway.
All right, so you think so? Isn't he on like another level? He's on the floor above
you?
Yeah,
well, you know, there's a lot of traffic going through those elevators because they're...
You think there's some madness to that THQ put themselves above Rainbow, both physically and metaphorically speaking? You think they did it on purpose, or that just happened to be the way it rolled?
Well, I think that since they don't normally build floors like under or in the middle of other floors.
Okay, so I guess the floor below you is not vacant.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about some games here. There's a few things that I want to talk about. People were telling me, okay, you got to play Crackdown. My friend says, hey, we got to play Crackdown. Other people say, have you tried Crackdown? So I thought, okay, it's time for me to try Crackdown.
Now, this is not the Sega Genesis game of yore, is it?
No, and I didn't realize there was one, but okay. I'm usually pretty good on that, trivia. But
which was a pretty good game, I might add.
This, we're talking Crackdown on the 360. So I set my 360 to download it and came back 3 weeks later, and I finally had it downloaded, all 1.24 gigabytes of it, over my wireless connection, which I swear is slower than the wired one. Although it took a good long time for my roommate's Xbox to download it as well. Anyway, so I got Crackdown and I tried it. And I'm going to tell you what my impressions and what I think of the game in terms of design and what they may have done well and not so well.
Now, how long did you play it for?
The demo is fairly strict and only letting you play a certain amount of time. So you can either play 30 minutes initially plus the extra 30 minutes they give you, or if you raise two of your... They keep track of all these different features, like your strength, your explosive. So there's all these different experience points you can get. And they rank from, like, you know, where you start, zero, to I think it ends at 4 stars, at least in the demo. So you can go up so many places during the demo, and as soon as you get to level 2 of any of these stats, then they give you 30 minutes more of the demo. So I played the demo 3 times. Two times it was 30 minutes plus my level 2, and one time it was 30 minutes plus another 30 minutes.
So maybe like a couple hours.
I would say I've put 2.5 hours into the game.
So I've put about 10 minutes into the game, so this is going to be interesting. We'll see the 10-minute impression and the 2-hour impression.
Yeah, so and also I played co-op System Link. This game actually works over System Link, unlike Ubisoft's piece of crap.
Oh, that's
their Splinter
cool.
Cell game, which doesn't even recognize it's a game in the same house. And it's only the demo, by the way. So anyway, I played with my roommate co-op, and I played by myself a couple times. So we'll talk about our impressions of the game, and it's really important to me because this game did a lot of things that I want to talk about. I'll wait till after the break to actually discuss it. Now, in addition, a lot of you might have seen the Penny Arcade comic. I know a lot of listeners we have came from Penny Arcade. And last week, I think it was Friday. I don't think it was today's. I think it was last Friday's. They were mocking the Sony president or CEO or, I don't know, some big guy at Sony. Was saying that, well, he wouldn't expect PS3s to be in stores. And clearly he's an idiot. So we'll talk about that a little bit too.
Which I might add is right now probably the easiest target to mock in perhaps the history of video games.
Well, I would say Atari circa 83. You might do a better job with the whole landfill story and all that. But
this is just outlandish. This is crazy.
This is absolutely, like, at least Atari was trying. And I didn't hear flat-out lies coming out. Now, I don't know. I was like 4. But, Sony's doing a really good job of ruining their credibility. Now, luckily, I've said before, I still like the machine, the PS3, even though I don't have one in my house.
Well, anymore. In your eyes, Sony's doesn't have no credibility, do they?
No, Sony has no credibility whatsoever. But they're PR people. Anyone who you actually talk to. But they're hardware people. They built a good box. So... At least it looks that way to me. So we're going to talk about that, too, shortly. Not a big deal. If anybody wants to talk about it and the controversy about what Tretton said. I think that's his name, Tretton or Treaton.
Jack Tretton, that's
Jack.
Right.
Yeah, give us a call at 866-536-1100, and we'll hear what you have to say about it. And certainly, if you played Crackdown, too, I want to hear your impressions.
Now, I've got a couple topics to talk about as well.
Go for it.
Just to give you guys a little preview. So one of our listeners wrote in to kind of continue the previous conversation we had about HUD elements. So we're going to talk
a little
bit about...
heads-up display
right.
elements. The stuff you see on the screen that's
not
the game.
Thank you for the vernacular.
Well, a lot of our listeners, you know, they don't necessarily know all the gaming terminology. So, like, if you see your energy bar on a screen...
Right. Stuff like
that's
that. He was asking some questions about that. I finally got my hands on some Ridge Racer 7, and I played that a little bit, and I have a litany of opinions about that.
Anytime a racing game comes out, Ara likes to talk about it. So if you feel like maybe he says the same thing over and over... It's not the case.
It's actually different games we're talking about
because
here.
Because he gets down to the minutiae in the game, and he knows the difference between Ridge Racer 5, 6, 7, and all the weird names that they implemented between 3 and 5, actually. Ridge Racer 5 was actually called Ridge Racer 5, right?
Yes.
But 3 and 4 had weird names.
Right. 3 was Rage Racer. And Ridge Racer was actually called R4 or Ridge Racer
4.
Type 4
yeah.
for those who are extremely nerdy.
I remember that. The first time I ever saw Ridge Racer was there's an arcade back in New Hampshire, and it's called Fun World, right? It's a big old castle, and it's right near where I grew up. Always took it for granted because it's a giant arcade, but, like, right near my house. Once I hit 16 and could drive, I was all over that place. Anyway, they had a really large projection screen with Ridge Racer on it, and you sat in an actual roadster.
Wow, that's a very, very rare arcade setup, actually.
Yeah, they had a sign that claimed there's only two of them in the world, one in Japan and one at this place.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I can't believe you got to play that. That's awesome.
I never actually played it. I sat in the passenger seat while my friend played. It was just Ridge Racer, but it was in an actual, like, I don't want to call it a Miata because it didn't have the Miata thing, but I think it was a Miata.
Yeah, no, it
like,
was
from
a Miata.
Europe, right?
Yeah.
But it's like it was called a Roadster.
Right, right.
Because the European version of Miata, I'm guessing, is called the Roadster or something.
Well, in Japan, they call it, the Roadster, or I think they call it the upgraded versions, the Yunos Roadster.
All right, yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Exactly what it was. So this red little sports car, and they had big old fans, like the kind people use in skanky arcades to make sure that all the stink coming off of the DDR players goes away from the machine instead of staying right.
So they wanted to make sure you weren't stinking too much.
Well, no, they wanted to make you feel like there was the wind hitting you because it was a convertible.
I see.
Right, and the steering wheel of the car actually steered the game. So, and you could put your passenger in it, and you got this big old wall.
Wow, see, I always wanted to play this, not because I necessarily would think it would be awesome, but just because, I mean, this seems like a really, really kind of like far-flung, outlandish effort to, you know, I mean,
yeah.
It's a whole car. It's ridiculous.
It was an actual car. The arcade was big. They had like a Ferris wheel, not a Ferris, like a whole roller coaster. Actually, the owner of the arcade like was testing the new roller coaster and the new wing and got hit by the roller coaster as it was empty and flying around the track, and it like broke his back. He flew like 20 feet or something. I heard.
Dude,
like his daughter
terrible.
Had to take over the arcade and stuff. That's the lore.
High drama at the arcade.
Took me 3 years to get him to get a DDR machine, and then it was the highest grossing game, and they had 3 of them. Anyway, we're going to come back after the break, talk about all the stuff that we mentioned and even some other things we may not have mentioned. 866-536-1100 if you want to join it.
Chatterbox.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I'm Chatterbox's resident game designer, Ara.
And I am Alon. What? Do we have a word or a phrase for me? You're a kick-ass host.
You are a kick-ass host.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Maybe the ass-kicking host.
Yeah, on weekends.
There you go.
So before we move on, of course, I have to mention our wonderful sponsor, UAT. That's the University of Advanced Technology, where I went and you did not.
This is true.
You got a job, but I got a radio show, so.
Well, you know, that's why I'm
so jealous
of you.
My hands, challenging him with the chest bump. But, yeah, it's a good place to go if you want to get into the industry, learn about how to make games and stuff. I get a lot of friends. In fact, my friend who got the job at THQ just started today.
Yep.
He's a UAT graduate.
There you go. Another.
Just recently.
That's right.
So, anyway, you go places with them. I've thought I should just get a testing job. Just forget the job I've got now. And just go be a tester. You know how they say, like, follow your dream?
Not the
tester has been my dream, but...
More exciting.
Yeah. You know, drop your job where you make enough money to actually live and just do whatever you wanted to do.
Well, you know, you'll get, like, you know, one and a half times pay overtime and stuff like that if you sleep over at the office.
Yeah, well, maybe if I worked twice as much as I work now,
I might
make
a sleeping bag.
Two-thirds of what I make.
And it's awesome as long as you're, you know, like, you know, not testing, like, the SpongeBob game in Spanish or something like that.
Yeah, I, still, I thought, you know, maybe I should just go do something like that. Find a job and move my way up, and that would be fun. But haven't actually done it. And I don't know if I will, but I have friends who are following the dream, yourself included. Now, let's talk about what I said I wanted to. My big topic of the day is Crackdown.
Yes.
And you think, oh, it's just a game I played. They usually don't make whole topics out of games that they just played. But this one's worth it. And it's worth it not so much because of how good it is, but because of how bad so many other games are. And so, first of all, since you only played it for a short time, why don't you tell me your impression to begin with?
Well, I have a slightly biased impression from the first 10 minutes because I read the review of the game right before trying out the demo.
And what did the review say?
And so this was Doug Perry's review of the game on IGN. And, you know, he spent a lot of time talking about, you know, collecting orbs in the game and how, like, basically, you know, this very simple mechanic of just, okay, there's a city and you're going collecting these orbs, and there's, you know, experience point system and all this other stuff. This is, in fact, although it's nothing new, you know, extremely compelling. And he said that was the best part of the game.
And I'll talk about why. And he's right.
And
well, I wouldn't say best, but it's definitely a very important part of the game.
You know, I didn't play it enough to really, you know, appreciate the depth of that, although from what he was explaining, it certainly seems interesting, and I could see why, you know, you could really get into that sort of thing. But, you know, my first impression was, okay, wow, this is like just another GTA-type game, which I've never been really, you know, into in the first place.
I agree with you there. I got sick of Grand Theft Auto very quickly.
But one thing that he mentioned in his review, which I thought was really cool, is that he was, and I don't know if you gain a sense of this in the demo or not, but he was explaining how, you know, the city, it just doesn't grow outward. It also grows upward because you have really, really tall buildings and, you know, your agility in the game increases. So you can, at least what it sounded like was, you know, make these really just giant superhuman type leaps.
Yes.
And to access new areas. And that sounds really flippin' cool.
I will build on that. Is there anything else you wanted to say about it? I'm going to kind of go for a while, I think.
Yeah. The only other observation that I wanted to make, and, you know, this could spur another whole discussion all by itself, but, you know, there's a lot of situations, at least in the demo, where, you know, you're shooting people and all these guys are shooting you from all different directions. And there's just no way in hell that you can avoid everything that's coming at you. And I thought that was just a sloppy and messy game design.
I hadn't analyzed that part of the game too much.
Yeah, so maybe we leave that off for later. But
it has a Halo-style life regeneration system, where if you can hide long enough, your armor builds back up. You're like a bionic character, so it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. And I hated the way the car's handled, but, you know.
Well, I can understand that. But car handling, driving, is one of the things that you get better at in the game. It's one of your characteristics. So I bet it would handle better.
That is very interesting.
Although it's one characteristic that I never really built up very much in the demo. So feel free to interject here and ask me questions as I'm going on. But
go for it.
Here's what I want to focus on with Crackdown. Like I said, a lot of games have sucked over time. And as we know, occasionally good games come out. Now, Grand Theft Auto is a good example of this. The various Mario games are a fine example. Puzzle games like Tetris are a great example of a good game which spawns a bunch of copycats. Now, inevitably, these copycats suck hard. They suck real bad. And one example that for some reason I can never get out of my head, perhaps it's because I had high expectations, I don't know. Super Mario 64, great game, right? In fact, my favorite game of all time. I don't know if you've heard me talk about that. Mario 64, I think, is the best game ever made.
It's many people's favorite game of all time.
Yes.
I know that.
So, you know, call me a sheep. But anyway, it's great. And Mario's great.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going that far. But yeah.
Right. Well, Mario's great for a number of reasons. But someone else decided this is a good game. One of your favorite companies, Acclaim, decided, oh, Mario's such a good game, we're going to try and make it again and call it Vex. Do you remember that?
Right. Acclaim is not one of my favorite companies, but I can actually tell you a lot of, I know what you're about to say, right? I mean, Vex in a lot of ways was
trying to be Mario.
Right.
And it had that stupid collection idea. Oh, we collect stuff and that makes a fun element in a game. What Doug Perry was saying about Crackdown, it's not so much the collecting of the things, but the effort involved in collecting the things.
Right.
So here's my point. A lot of developers...
Did you know that Vex and Red Star use the same engine?
You had mentioned that to me in private, and you actually said that Vex did some really great things with the engine that then, although it took time to build in Vex, so maybe Vex didn't make use of it very well,
right.
Future games implemented Vex's engine and what they learned by building Vex very well.
Right. Red Star actually was the only one, but...
Well, there you go. Anyway, so my point is, a lot of good games come around, and they usually have one or two good elements. Usually games have a single hook, and they're, I don't remember the developers at any point, but at conferences and things, I remember one famous developer said, like, a good game has one hook that's maybe 30 seconds of gameplay repeated over and over and over. And I think they used Halo as an example that has some really awesome gameplay that could just repeat itself over and over. And a lot of people try to copy a good game, and they copy thematically the concept of the game, but they don't actually get the core of the game down. They copy the theme, but it doesn't actually work. I'm going to talk about that more and how Crackdown is different as soon as we come back from the break. Stay tuned, everyone.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
With the new year comes a new attitude at KFNX.
Once again, we're back. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And behind the glass over there is Andrew. Andrew, didn't you have some wonderful rejoiner music for us? Did you just skip out on
this,
that?
This sounds just like the same old stuff. What's going on?
No, I just wanted to get the little...
Oh, very nice. The sound effect. We appreciate it.
Just because you love Dr. Laura so much.
Oh, is that Dr. Laura? We have a picture of her in the studio now. It's wonderful. She has very nice veneers on her teeth. All right, tell me it's done. I need to start talking about the show again.
That sound makes me want to kill people.
I would like to vomit into the trash can in front of my face. All right, so...
And why is the trash can in front of your face?
Let's not get into that. There's a trash can in front of my face right now. So I want to talk more about Crackdown, but before we do that, I got to tell everybody, this weekend, a lot of my time was spent finally building a MySpace for Chatterbox. Now, I have mixed feelings about MySpace. I think you do as well, Ara.
No, they're not mixed at all.
Okay. But a lot of people use
it. I hate MySpace.
And anyway, I've been told for a year to build one of these. Finally did. So our real website is chatterboxgameshow.com. And of course, you go to myspace.com/chatterboxgameshow. You'll find our MySpace. And you can link to it from our website as well. And we'll put stuff about the show on there and be our friends and stuff. We don't really have any friends right now because it only just started.
But we hope to have about 11,000 by the end of the week.
I'd like to have 3 or 4. Definitely none of those spammer people. Anyway, you also have a website of your own. I guess people were asking about levels that you built in that Unreal game and stuff.
I actually did notice on the forum that some people were asking about my Unreal Tournament level that I built that we were talking about last episode.
All right, so if we mention the site on the air, will you promise to fix the dead links?
Yes, I will resolve to fix those dead links.
All right, good. So, Sharinian.net, and if any of you can figure out how to spell that, do you want to just spell it on the air?
Well, it's Shirinian, but I guess you can go and maybe we should put my full name on our website. So
I don't put my name on the website.
They don't know what it is. But anyway, I've just announced to the world my last name in case.
All right. Well, they'll see it in the credits of Red Star anyway. So
surprising revelation.
Sharinian.net. We'll put links up on the MySpace on our website. So anyway, that's our house cleaning. Out of the way.
So back to Crackdown.
So I was saying, a lot of games come out that suck, and oftentimes these crappy games are copying games that didn't suck. So a fine example, Grand Theft Auto. Everyone loved the free roaming and the fact that you could travel so easily across this free roaming environment because you could take any car, right? That was really the best part of Grand Theft Auto. Now, there was other stuff. There was combat in Grand Theft Auto, but the combat kind of sucked. But you could go anywhere, and that was cool. And there were these cool missions. Like, if you took a fire truck, then you could do a fire truck mission. Or you could take a fast car off of a big jump. And it didn't necessarily say, if you take a big jump off this, you'll get special points. But if you did, you got special points. And that was cool.
Pretty much anything that you got bored of doing, there was something else for you to do.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of secrets in games anymore. They sort of did away with that after the 16-bit era.
You know what? That's my lament of the decade, let me tell you.
And we could talk about that on another show, but Grand Theft Auto sort of got back into that. It was just hard to notice, but they did. So that was the good part about Grand Theft Auto. Not the rest of it. Not the fact that you were a gangster. Nobody cared. They could have put it in a different context, and it still would have been a great game. Super Mario Brothers, all the different Mario games. People have a hard time figuring out what's so great about Mario. And I'm going to tell you what's so great about Mario, even though nobody else has figured it out, or at least nobody's voiced it in my immediate vicinity. First and foremost, it has perfect control. Whatever they want to do with Mario, you can do it, and you can do it almost every time, unless it's something particularly difficult, in which case it should be a bit of a challenge, like wall jumping and stuff like that.
That is definitely one of the hallmarks of that game.
Yeah, but Mario has fantastic control. Even in the very first game, you didn't just run and jump. You could run quickly and jump, right? So you had to get over a big gap. You had to hold the B button down and jump up. Or you could get the firepower. If you were big versus small, there were differences in how you reacted. It wasn't just that you could reach a higher, you know, point or something. You could actually break blocks. And this is it changes the gameplay. So there's also varied gameplay. It's not just a dungeon at the end of every level. Some of the dungeons acted differently. Like on level 7, world 7 at least, I'm talking about the original Super Mario Brothers here.
Right.
There were really long fire columns that spun around, right? It's a subtle difference, but you look at Super Mario Brothers 3. There's, I think, World 3 or 4, everything was giant. And they did that again in the new Super Mario Brothers. They had some giant stuff going on where Mario took up the whole screen. And anyway, they have varied gameplay, and they have many different ways for Mario to interact with the world to take advantage of the varied gameplay.
Right. Well, to me, it was two things, actually, that I thought, really distinguished that game from, all the other Mii 2s.
Okay.
Which was, the first one, which I think which you're kind of leading up to, is that, or I guess this is really kind of like a summary of what you just said, is like they took a finite number of mechanics and they produced all of the gameplay, actually astonishing variety of gameplay, just with different ways, interesting ways of composing those mechanics.
Yeah, it wasn't just a whole bunch of context sensitivity. Like if you're on this platform and you press this button, then he does something crazy. No, you
right.
could do whatever sort of jump he could do anywhere, anytime.
Right, and the great thing about that is that once you understand the basic mechanics, in other words, once you get about, halfway through the first level, you know everything about how the game works.
Yeah.
And so they're able to kind of present to you things that are new enough to interest you, but they're not so new that you feel like you kind of have to like learn how things actually work. You don't have to go through that like figuring out process, which is a point of frustration in a lot of games.
Yeah, and it's not that like you're on some special level where there's a lot of high jumps, so your character suddenly has the ability or like to wear the special boots or something in that level so
right.
he can do what he needs to do.
Except for level 7-4, which is absolutely nutso.
With the long fire rods.
Do you remember that level? You're going through a hallway, and they loop around, and it's like a maze.
That was 8. That was the last one.
No. That was on 7, trust me.
Okay. Anyway, so Mario has varied gameplay throughout you're not just doing the same thing throughout the whole game. You're doing a lot of
different
things.
Oh, here's the other thing. The one other thing was that they were really, really good at communicating to the player. Things like telegraphing when things are going to happen, giving you a chance to see things happen and then react to them instead of just unloading things on you all of a sudden.
Yeah, like water bombs and things dropping in Super Mario 64 in the first level. So you know that there are cannons going off and you have to figure out what's going on with the cannons. Well, there's a lot of examples. We could go on about Mario all day. I could go on about Mario all, year. So anyway, it did a really good job with control and with varied gameplay, keeping your interest. There's the penguin race and there's the teleporting and there's the flying and all these things. And anyway, it's fantastic. A lot of games take this idea, ooh, we're going to have your character be able to do a bunch of things, but then they get it wrong because you can only do this thing on a special level, or you want to collect things. Okay, so you're going to collect all these coins, but is there a real reason you're going to collect the coins? No, it's just another stat on the screen. So here's my point. Vex tried to copy Mario, but they copied it thematically instead of copying the parts that were good about it and creating their own game around it. And Grand Theft Auto, tons of games copy Grand Theft Auto, but they never quite got it right. And to be honest, I never played a lot of the ones that copy Grand Theft Auto, so I don't have a fine example of how they screwed it up, but there are plenty of them. I hear Saints Row by THQ actually did a good job, but I haven't tried it yet.
I did hear it was good.
Now, here's another fine example of how it relates to... this is something ripped right out of one game and put right into Crackdown. Hulk Ultimate Destruction.
All right.
Hulk Ultimate Destruction, you could pick up varied weapons and stuff, but the actual hook to that game was that you could jump. And you could jump really, really far. And that's where you talked about Crackdown being built vertically.
Right.
Right out of Hulk Ultimate Destruction. You wouldn't think right away because you're a little dude, right, compared to Hulk. But that's exactly what it is. Hulk had the Tony Hawk-style system where you build up, you develop a core set of moves over time, whereas Mario, you can pretty much do all the moves all the time. Maybe you have to get a cape or something. But Hulk, you built up these experience points, just like Crackdown does. And so over time, at first, maybe you can't reach the top of the building, or you can, but you have to go up the stairs, right? Later on, you get enough agility in Crackdown where you can jump higher. And you even have an announcer saying, you've reached another level of agility, which is a little bit lame for him to come and tell you that explicitly. But now you can jump up to 25 feet, right? And so you can run faster and you can jump higher. So you see a building and it's got windowsills on it. So you can jump up and you grab the windowsill, and then you can leap again because you've grabbed it, and you go up another windowsill. So you can go sill to sill to sill until you get to the top of the building. Now, later on, you get even more agility. You can jump higher, so you can skip a sill every time. So you can go up 2 at a time. And then you can jump from one building, like hundreds of feet out from a tall building, over to another one, to the point that you can only collect that one orb at the top of some, you know, large, very small building, but very tall, right? You can get that orb only if you jump from this high building over here. And so it's not that you're just collecting crap strewn about the world. You're collecting crap or orbs that there's a challenge in getting those orbs. That's
well,
what makes it compelling.
There's a functional meaning to them as well, isn't
there? Well, yeah, once you get the orbs, then you increase other points. So, like, you get the agility orbs in the fun park, because there's a bunch of them in the fun park, and then you can get all the other ones strewn about the world. And that's what Doug Perry was saying. It's compelling, not just because you're collecting stuff. Tons of games collect stuff, but they get it wrong. You're not just collecting stuff. The collecting has to be fun, not just so you know. You got Banjo-Kazooie did this. You collected red coins and stuff, but for no good reason. It didn't do anything.
Well, I think that the way the world kind of unfolds by access, you know, through your abilities or your limits to your abilities, I mean, conceptually, you know, that is very, very cool. I'm actually surprised that other games haven't done that as much, you know, until now.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, like all good ideas for gameplay, when somebody actually does it, everyone's like, oh, yeah, that's obvious and simple and awesome.
Well, it all clicks after you see it. But
exactly.
There are all these copycat games out there, and they don't copy the good parts of games. They copy the general theme, and they do it poorly because they try to crank it out. Crackdown said, hey, we like the control. We like how you can do all these different things with a character like Mario, so we're going to give a character control. It was more like Hulk Ultimate Destruction in terms of his agility and stuff than Mario, but still, you can see my point. It took the hook from Ultimate Destruction Hulk and put it into the game. It takes the firepower of first-person shooter games, gives you a sniper gun and gives you a machine gun and gives you a pistol, so you get that. You also get the free roaming and the driving of any car of Grand Theft Auto. The destruction of Grand Theft Auto and Hulk is in there. You can destroy, you know, huge barrels that just explode entire sidewalks and areas of the street.
Okay, now my eyes are rolling in the back of my head.
More to talk about. I'll be back after the break.
Welcome back, everybody, to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
And I'm Alon.
And we're talking about Crackdown here.
But before we do, don't forget to go to uat.edu, where you can learn about the University of Advancing Technology.
That's right.
Wonderful company. And so, yeah, we were talking about Crackdown.
Yeah, so I wanted to go back to a point that you made earlier about, you know, kind of indirectly related to Crackdown. There are, you know, A big hit game will come out, you know, something like Super Mario Brothers or what have you. And, you know, there will be something in that game, something in its essence that, you know, captures everybody's hearts. And, you know, there's just something really special about, you know, how certain mechanics play or just how the whole game plays. And, you know, these copycats that come out afterward will, you know, basically have the same theme of the game on a high level, right? Or they'll copy, you know, elements of the game, at least on, you know, like a rudimentary level, but they never quite seem to, you know, capture that essence.
They miss the point.
They miss the point. You know, yeah. Something like, you know,
Grand Theft Auto was really the prime example here,
right,
that people will relate.
I think, you know, Super Mario Brothers is an even better example because, I mean, really, that game started the platformer genre.
Pretty much.
And there are almost, there are very, very few platformers that, you know, the gameplay comes even close to the Super Mario Brothers games.
I certainly can't think of one, but I'm sure there are some.
Very, very elite class of games, indeed.
Kid Nicky, maybe?
No. Kid Nicky is one of those games that would not fall into that category.
Okay. I don't think anybody understands what we're talking about now.
And there's a dear place in my heart for Kid Nicky.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with it.
And a lot of pain. But, okay, so what was my point?
Thematic, missing the point.
All right, so basically, I think that the reason why this happens a lot, especially nowadays, is because, you know, most game projects get started from a high concept. So, in other words, I mean, it could be as simple as...
The elevator speech, is that what you're talking about?
Right. And I mean, it could be as simple as, oh, you know what, you know, and I know Halo is not original in game and theme, but just for sake of argument, you know, oh, Halo was really popular. Oh, let's make a game just like Halo, but better so we can make money, or just like Halo, but better in this way, or something like that. Right.
Yeah.
And the reason I think why, you know, a lot of games, and this isn't without exceptions, but most of the games kind of like fall short afterward is because, you know, all the attention is paid on the high concept and the nitty gritty of, you know, what actually happens in the mechanics often is not paid as close attention. And I think a lot of times what happens is that, you know, a lot of the core mechanics of the game kind of get embedded into the entire development process. And so, you know, halfway through the game's development cycle, right? People may realize, oh wow, you know what? These mechanics, you know, they're not
so good.
Not so fun, not so good. Not working out too well.
And I think what happens, we should devote more time to this topic, but the people who greenlight the game, they hear what the press talks about. So Grand Theft Auto is my fine example here. They hear, hey, there's this game that's controversial, where there's a lot of destruction and prostitutes and things that put the game in the news. So we're going to get our game in the news too. When really what made that game great had nothing to do with any of the controversial stuff in it.
Exactly. And right. I would go even farther and say, you know, the reason why a lot of games are so popular is really the details of the gameplay experience, not thematically, but mechanically.
Yeah, exactly. And so the people who sign off on the game development say, hey, this game did all these things, right? But they never played the games because they don't care, because they're not game players. That's just the way it is. The accountants and the PR people, they don't play the games because they're too busy getting chicks at bars, right? They're not the guys who actually play.
Well, I hope they're not too busy doing
so
that.
All the original developers, like stuff like Katamari, that comes out of people who didn't have to go through the stupid greenlight process. Barely. I mean, Katamari came off of some silly little college project. Some guy wasn't even planning on making a game, right? So he made this little idea, and a few people liked it, and they said, oh, wow, that's really cool, because they concentrated on the gameplay. So Crackdown had some people who were smart, and they said, hey, we're going to take the good stuff from lots of different games, and we're going to make a good game out of it. So at first, it seems most like Grand Theft Auto.
Well, I heard actually that the lead guy on this project, on Crackdown, came from the GTA.
Really? I'm not surprised, because
this is what I heard.
Looks and feels so much like GTA, but it also took good elements from other places. It wasn't just a GTA clone. That's what it feels most like, because the presence of the game has to do with what you see, which is the, you know, the big city and the roaming. But what makes the game fun is the agility elements in it, mixed with the combat. And honestly, the combat could be better. The combat is the weak point of this game. But it's not bad. It's good enough that I'm happy with it. I wish the hand-to-hand close combat could have been way improved, but the arms combat, you know, is good enough. But it's like Ultimate Destruction, where you can pick up anything and throw at anybody. You can climb up anywhere. Here's something I mentioned during the break too, which we didn't talk about on the air. They took all these good elements, like I said, the exploration of the whole big world, the vertical exploration of Hulk Ultimate Destruction, the weapons and just combat that people like in so many first-person shooters, but also they made this game for the first time, this style of game, at least to my knowledge, co-op. Xbox Live or System Link or whatever, I played System Link because I could. But they took a game that's great and they said, hey, we're going to give your friend the chance to play too. And what's great about Crackdown, you don't have to go across the same level. You're not just together. You're not taking turns. Your friend can be on one end of the city doing his thing. You can be in your end of the city taking out a totally different gang boss or doing whatever it is you're doing, going on some race mission, collecting agility orbs. You can do whatever you want. He can be with you or he can not be with you. He could be killing you if you wanted to start killing each other. You have that freedom.
So how does this work exactly? I mean, are you basically like playing independent storylines or what?
No. Same storyline. And the announcer will even come on and say, one of your friends has a mission. You should go help him. Right. And if your friend wants to start one of the race missions where like you have to go to 47 different flag points and collect things or whatever, you wait there for 15 seconds for your friend to come join you. If he doesn't, it's like, oh, well, it's up to you then. And you do it all on your own. But so you can go together. And like we said, we're going to go take out this mob boss, because like you said earlier, there's so many guys shooting at you. It's tough. So you want backup.
Right. That's just sloppiness when they just unload so many people on you.
It's not just sloppiness. I mean, it's trying to give you an element of this. This city is just full of gangsters. They're all shooting you.
Well, full of gangsters.
You better find a better way of attacking. Don't sit in the open and get shot. You got to do another thing. So I could be like, oh, well, I'm going to go around the back here and, you know, figure out what's going on and steal a car or something. Oh, I'm going to come pick you up because your friend can get in the car too. Right? He's not driving, but he can get in the car. You can go travel across somewhere and you can work together. Or you can just be like, just like Grand Theft Auto, I don't want to do this right now. I'm going to go in a car and just blow people up. You can do it. It took all the greatest things you could find from various games, put them into a game without screwing it up. And it's honestly the first game I can think of that did this. And I've only played the demo, which, by the way, the game comes out on my birthday. Don't know if that's a sign. But anyway, next week, everybody. I can't think of another game that borrowed so much from other good games and didn't screw it up completely. Because like we were talking about, usually they can't copy the high concept of a game and what actually makes a game good, the control and the gameplay, the design elements of the actual game are left completely out of the story because they just concentrate on what made the news. Anyway.
So, once again, we've run out of time and we didn't get to talk about most of the things we wanted to.
Yeah, that's true. But we have a MySpace.
That's MySpace right.
/Chatterbox Game Show. So next week, Ara has a bunch of things that he's been holding back. We're going to concentrate on Ara's Ridge Racer 7 stories and some other things. I can't see all of his notes right now, but we're going to concentrate on those, and I'll try to lay back. And certainly email us, Ara and myself, both over at the website, Chatterbox Game Show. You can let us know what you think of the show and what you want us to talk about. We'll take your suggestions into consideration, as always. Anything else before we go?
I think all I want to say is good night to everybody.
All right, and don't forget, Red Star in stores.
Everyone,
sometime
buy five copies.
Sometime this year.
It's going to be only $20.
Yeah, we got to go, everybody. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.